You know, I've been evaluating my life, and I think I've been averaging reading. I love to read. I love to read. Even though I'm totally blind, I still read. I've probably spent about 2,000 to 3,000 books in my lifetime. And in that book, I like to collect. And of course, the number one book is always on my shelf is the Bible. But there's another book, and maybe perhaps it's on your shelf. It's one of my favorites. Inspiration and encouragement, and it just really does a lot to my soul. It's called Chicken Soup. I got one of those books, and just about a couple months ago, I was reading one of those books. It's called Chicken Soup for the Soul, and there's a variety, and I thought, well, I wonder how many different books out there. So I asked my daughter, Ashley, because she got one of those smartphones. I'm not smart enough. I'm stuck with the dumb phone. Dumb stuff. And, you know, 10 years ago, my average cell phone was called cell phone. Today, it's called dumb phone. So the next 10 years, what's going to call it? Dinosaur? I don't know. And so I asked her, Ashley, of the Chicken Soup book series, approximately how many books? I'm guessing maybe 20, because I read a handful of those. She said, Dad, there's 250 of those, baby. Wow. And so here's, I'm going to give you a quote of one of the poems I got by memory. It's written by Emily Pearl Kingsman. And listen to how he wrote. I went to my dad and said, there's a new kid came to my school. Nothing at all like me. And he isn't very cool. No, he's nothing at all like me, like me. No, he's nothing at all like me. He kind of run a funniest and jerkiest way. He never come first in a race. Sometimes he forget which way is first base. No, he's nothing at all like me, like me. No, he's nothing at all like me. He spent all day studying in a separate room. They said it's called special ed. Sometimes I don't understand what he said. No, he's nothing at all like me, like me. No, he's nothing at all like me. His face is kind of different from mine. Sometimes he speaks very slow. Makes me feel kind of funny. But this I do know, he is nothing at all like me. Like me, he is nothing at all like me. Then my father said, son, I want you to think when you meet someone different and new. He may seem a little bit strange, it's true, but he's not very different from you. No, he's not very different from you. Well, I guess I admit it. When I look at his face when he's left out of game, he feels bad. And when other kids tease him, I know he's so sad. And I guess that's not very different from me. No, that's not very different from me. And when we go to music, oh, he sure loved to sing. I mean, he sings just like me, right out loud. And when he gives me a report card, I see that he's very proud. Well, that's not very different from me. No, that's not very different from me. And when we go to lunch, oh, we had so much fun. He loved hot dogs, ice cream, fries. And yet, he hates eating spinach. And I'm not surprised. That's not very different from me. No, that's not very different from me. He's always friendly. He always said hi. He waved and called out my name. He liked to be a friend and get into the game. And that's not very different from me. No, I guess that's not very different from me. I saw their folks, and their folks love him. And I saw him at school on an open school night. And they like to smile, and they're proud, and they hug him very tight. Oh, that's not very different from me. No, that's not very different from me. So I said to my dad, hey, Dad, you know that new kid? Well, I've been thinking a lot. Some things are different. Some things are not. But really, he's really a lot like me. Like me. Yes, my new friend is a lot like me. Can you relate to that story? Can you see yourself in that picture? I was growing up. And I remember moving to the small town, brand new in 1968. I'm going into second grade. And back then, we didn't have these kind of hearing aids. I had about 40% hearing aids. And back then, they were still developing technology. So the hearing aids that I have is one of those that looked like the size of my dumb cell phone. And I had a little vent to put in the pocket. And I had two little wires running in side, I mean, and go inside my ear. Now, when I went to school in second grade, we had about 30 students. Only the teacher knew what I had in the device. I was not going to let my student know what I got here. But it didn't help because I made it worse. Because while I'm in the class, I'm doing this. Meaning, why did that new kid get to have a radio listening to music? That is not fair. And of course, I made it worse by bouncing it all the more, right? I wasn't going to let him know. I mean, I'm sure the teacher's scratching, what is man doing? And before I go out to recess, I used to take my hearing aid out and put it in my desk. And these guys said, we got to find out what this is all about. Why did this new kid get to wear a radio? So they could not hear while I was out there playing. They pick up one of the device, and then a guy puts his stuff in his ear, and they're messing around. Of course, he turned the volume real high, but it's not off. And he turned it on. Can you hear me? Whoa! I've been busted. They realize this guy. Yeah. And there's a movie out, James Bond, one of them said a license to kill, and it seems to be that my class and upper class have a license to pick on, a license to push me down, a license to laugh at me, because all because I'm wearing hearing aids, and I talk a little funny. All the way from my grade school all the way to high school. Why? All because I'm just a little bit different? Does anybody care? Just a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I go shopping with my wife, and I'm pushing the cart, and I'm from the distance, from one to three aisles, I hear the, whoa, oh, and I hear this whining, and it sounds like from a little kid. And no matter where you are in that store, one or three or five aisles, you can hear it. And so I asked my wife, it sounds like a little boy, how old did he look like? About 5 or 6 years old. And I'm listening, so no matter where you are, everybody can hear this boy doing this, oh, whining. And it could be annoying. And I said, look, when that little kid come up close to me and let me know, I'm sure he's walking with her mom, I want to say hi to that little fella. So as we're pushing and collecting, I'm listening. Sometimes it's close, sometimes far away. And I'm hoping to get the chance to say hi. Nothing happened yet until we got up to the checkout. And I said, well, I missed the opportunity. And all of a sudden, I heard him right behind me on the left side. I heard the little boy again. And I turn around. I said, hi, what's your boy name? Cindy turned around and saw the situation. The mom kind of panicked a little bit and said, that's my husband, he's blind. I said, oh, okay. Well, my son has autism. I said, that's okay. I gave my name and she gave the name of the boy and I tried to communicate. I should have got down to my knee and said, hi, how are you doing? Because my frame is 6'4", 280 pounds, terrified that little guy. I mean, he's just a little boy.
Whoa.
And Sidney said he was crying a little bit, he backed up. And the mother said, well, it's not very good to say hi, but he's a pretty good thing bye. Bye. What would you do if you were with me? Would you feel, hey, woman, do something with that child. It's annoying. Or would you avoid? Would you try to reach out? How many times is that mom and that little child, 5 years old, going in there, and she used it as people give that stare, that look, and nobody wants to talk to her, and maybe that's the first time I ever engaged that little boy. The little boy's not used to that, somebody talk to me. And so that's why he was shocked, and usually nobody pay attention to me. They just avoid that. I'm sure the mom wondering, but anybody cares? Anybody know what I'm going through? And I made that effort. Why would I even bother making the effort? Brother Jim is going to help me weed along the PowerPoint. Hope the PowerPoint's working. If not, he's going to have to do the scripture by memory, or I'm going to trust my memory here. And we're going to take a look at 1 Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Is it working?
I don't know. Oh,
yeah. Yay! So, Brother Jim, go ahead and read, my friend.
So, then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness.
Notice that the bold word, I said, our. We're talking about God here. God cares. That's the title of my sermon. God cares. But we're talking about plural. God in our image and us. See, the reason why we need to pay attention to other people, that every one of you is important. Have you made in the image of God? Now, it's hard concept because we're talking about Trinity here. When he said our, we talk about Trinity. We're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's hard to get our brain to wrap around it because we might think 1 + 1 + 1 = 3 is not 3 and 1. Well, the math don't work. No, you just need to change the formula. Try 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. 1. And so when I'm in Bible calling, we're trying to understand, trying to get an illustration to understand the 3 and 1. How does that work? And so they use one illustration. It was called the egg. You know, you have the shell, the white, and the yolk. But that doesn't really work because you can separate them. God never separated. They're still one. So that's not a very good illustration. Another one that we use, the water. And there's 3 components. Water can be ice, liquid, or steam. They're 3 and 1, but really they separate. So it didn't make it clear. So let me give you an illustration I heard about 15, 20 years ago that helped me to wrap my brain around the Trinity. When you look at the universe, it's a component of 3 things. Made up of mass, energy, and time. Can you take one of those out? No. As you look at the universe, there's always the mass, there's always the time, and there's always the energy. Beautiful. Now let's take it one step farther. Take the word time. You got the past, the present, the future. There are that 3. Can you take one of them out? Right now, today. There's always tomorrow, and there's always yesterday. There's your 3 and 1. So take a look at the mass. No matter any object, you always have the width, the length, and the thickness. Even if I draw a line on a piece of paper, the width, thickness, and got a magnifying glass, you can see the thickness. There's the 3. You can't take anything out, right? Energy. Energy is made of what? Proton, neutron, and electron. Can you take any of them out? And so that helped me understand here the Trinity, that God cares. Dave was telling the story a couple Sundays ago about Jesus on a boat sleeping. And you know, you had some of those apostles who were the seasoned fishermen that had this great storm and water, and they were terrified. It kind of reminded me of Jonah. So Jonah was in the storm, and he was down there sleeping as well. So it was a good parallel of what Christ would be like. And yet they were terrified, and they're going to be perished, and say, Jesus, don't you what? Care. And the answer is, Jesus do care. He loved us. He really did. About 25 years ago, I had one of VHS, and you think those who are 30 years and older, younger, what is that? That's just a downgrade of DVD. Those who are older know when I'm talking about a VHS, and there's a speaker on there named David Green. And David Green had cerebral palsy. He's a preacher. And I was watching the video back then, about 25 years, I can still be able to see back then. And here David Green come up, and he had the whole right side limping, the cerebral palsy. And when he speaks, you have to listen very carefully. And he looked at the audience, it's a large audience, and you looking at me up and down, but as you look at me, I'm looking at you. And you're not very pretty either. Did it with a smile. And he made this one statement. God don't make junk. David Ring is cerebral palsy and doesn't stop him to preach. And David Ring was growing up, they told nobody's gonna marry you. You're a handicap. On the slide, here's my wife, here's my 5 kids, 1 on the way, not bad, all. And so God didn't care. And some of the things we probably don't care, one of them is politics. Man, what a crazy year. And you might think, man, this is crazy. It's got to be the worst way. You see how they attack each other? It's got to be the worst politician in the political election ever. And I read a lot, and I said, no. It's bad back then. Let me take you back to Andrew Jackson, back in 1828. And man, if you read some of the letter attack, I mean, verbal abuse, even more so than what we heard. He said, let me tell you how bad it is. It was so bad that they attacked Jackson's wife named Rachel, and she took it personally. And he won, and a couple months later, Rachel died in December. Because they think the abuse, and they were physical, they were attacking her mentally and emotionally, and just beat her up on the paper, and she couldn't handle it. They were distressed. Yeah, it was bad. one would really care. And you make me want to know if Andrew Jackson wanted to quit. He didn't. He said, I need to finish the job. But it was tough, and he did it without. Why? One of my two favorite presidents, for me, is Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And I probably read a dozen books on Abraham Lincoln. And so I went to my daughter and asked me on her smartphone, and I said, well, you know, I heard there's about maybe 4,000 books written on Abraham Lincoln. Can you believe it? So I better check my story. So am I right? I had to look it up to know that. 15,000 books. I don't have a whole lifetime to read them. And even if I live 3 or 4 lifetimes to get caught up, I still won't get caught up because they keep writing more and more about Abraham Lincoln. Let me share something about him you may not know. When he was growing up, he had all kinds of names. He was tall, 6'4", but they called him Gorilla. He had a long arm leg. He walked kind of weird. And when he get in a crowd, he liked to duck. He didn't want to be standing out. His face looked weird. Matter of fact, when he's running for the president, one of the little girls said, Mr. Abraham, you look better if you grow a beard. So he did. It helped to look a little better. But here's something you might not know. As he went to New York City, because they were learning about him in the newspaper, they didn't have TV and radio back then. And when he started out, the voice is different. We think Abraham got deep voice. He did not.
Oh, it's gone 7 years ago.
Yeah, that's Abraham Lincoln. And here's a large crowd hearing it and go, whoa! But as they listened to his word, his word got substance, his word got power, it got meaning, it had direction, and after it got done, they forgot about the,
hi, you got my good boy.
Abraham Lincoln would never have a chance. Even though he's one of our greatest presidents, he would never made it in our generation, because it's all about image, not about the substance. And even Abraham Lincoln would have been criticized for the way he looked, the way he talked. The clothes never fit. But anybody cares anymore? I think in our society, we want people to care about us. And so we go to our lengths. And you know, if you look at the advertisement, if you want to be successful, if you want to have people love you, you know, I got lots of love here. I want people to love me. I want people to care about me. So I need to change. Well, if I get the right necklace here, all right, if I wear this thing here, people's going to care about me. I look cool. I look success. But we're not done yet, because we got to do something about my, well, you know how the hair and everything, right? So I go in and get a nice new hair. Do I look cool? Do you really love me? But then we also talk about, you know, you also got to have the right glasses, right? You got to have the right look. So we're still not done. So we're still pushing on it. So I go order this very special glass. Now they're going to love me. And then not only that, I need to have the right type of clothes. So I'm pushing even farther, so I better have the right outfit. So I went and bought one of these things. Now you love me. People are going to care about me now because I got everything the world asked me to have. And you're thinking, Matt, you look ridiculous. That's the point. Why is it that we spend so much energy trying to have the world to love us so they can care more about us, and yet we look ridiculous? God cares. But a lot of times, we blew it. We don't get it. Another favorite book that I like to read is Stephen Covey, who had the 7th Effective Habit book, and in that he would tell a story, a true story, and it's talked about and said in the subway, but I don't want to move this story and put it into the Greyhound bus. And imagine that you're on that bus late at night. You're on a long journey. And on that long journey, you were going by and you pick up a father and 3 children, the last stop before you take the long trip at night. You're tired, you might get some sleep because you're going to a destination that's going to take all night. And the father come in, he got the family empty, and he said, looked out the window and just stared out the window. Meanwhile, the 3 children running up and down, making noise, running at people, and just making all kinds of chaotic situations. And everybody's looking at each other, what's going on? And you are sitting right behind the dad, and they all look at you and say, you are appointed to tell the dad, get his act together. Because he gave you that look, you know, we appoint you. Talk to that guy. Sir! Sir! Sir, what? Sir, would you get your children in order? I mean, we're trying to get some sleep here, and your kid's running up and down. We can't get any sleep. Can you control your kid? And the father looked throughout the whole, everybody's staring and goes, yes! And he said, oh, please, please forgive me. We just left the hospital. And the kid doesn't know what to do because my wife and their mom just died. Everything changed, but nothing changed. And all of a sudden, people started to have sympathy for him, started caring for that man for the lack of information. The kid still run up and down, still making noise, but nobody is bothered by that. You see, we don't do it right, guys. We're a sinner. And we'll never get it right. But let me point to someone who got it right 100%. He teaches how to care for one another, and that is Jesus Christ. And I want to use the word cares.